I'd like to read a verse tonight in John's Gospel, chapter 3. The Gospel according to John in chapter 3. John chapter 3. Verse 34. For he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure, and you'll notice unto him is in italics. God giveth not the Spirit by measure. A final reading in the Epistle to the Ephesians in chapter 5. Paul's letter to the Ephesians in chapter 5. Verse 18. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. The Lord will bless what we have heard already this evening, and also this reading from his good word. One of the most neglected truths amongst us as assemblies of God's people is truth in regard to the Spirit of God. And what we're going to talk about the three nights we're going to be here, we're going to speak about truth in regard to the Spirit of God. Now, we've read tonight two things about the Spirit. We've read about the fullness of the Spirit. He giveth not the Spirit by measure. You either have the Spirit or you don't possess the Spirit. He giveth not the Spirit by measure. And we're going to speak tonight about the fullness of the Spirit. But we've read tonight about the filling of the Spirit. And God willing, tomorrow night we'll see a little about the filling of the Spirit. Now the question might be asked by the young people tonight, the old people know. But the question might be asked this evening, what's the difference between the fullness of the Spirit and the filling of the Holy Spirit? Now, I believe tonight the difference is simply this. When I think about the fullness of the Spirit, I possess the Spirit of God. When I think about the filling of the Spirit, the Spirit of God possesses me. So what we're going to speak about very simply this evening, we're going to speak about the fullness of the Holy Spirit. You know, I believe tonight, dear child of God, you and I need to have revived amongst us the day that you and I are living in. Now, what day are you and I living in? Well, the Bible makes it very clear, we're living in the day of salvation. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We're living in the day of salvation. But you mark my words this evening. If I read my Bible correctly, I discover this. You and I are living in the Spirit's day. And this is one of the greatest days that you and I could be living in, the day of the Spirit of God. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ taught this. It is better to have the Spirit on earth and to have Christ in heaven than to have the Spirit of God in heaven and Christ on earth. Listen tonight to what he says to the disciples in John chapter 16. He says this. It's to your profit. It's still your gain. It's still your advantage that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. And remember, there's a danger. I've heard it from the platform. I don't like it. I don't agree with it. I've heard it suggested the Father first, the Son second, and the Spirit of God third. Now, I'm going to prove tonight from the Bible that there is unity, there is oneness, there is harmony in the Godhead. Let's think of three verses in the Old Testament. There's a verse in Genesis 1, listen tonight to it. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let us. Then I come to Genesis 13, where my brother tonight has read. Listen to what you read in Genesis 13. Let us go down and confound their language. And then I come to Isaiah chapter 6 and I read a verse like this. Who will go for us? And it's the oneness, the harmony, the unity that marks the Godhead. Now sometimes in the scriptures, you read about the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. You remember Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28? Baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And there you read about the Father first, and there you read about the Son second, and there you read about the Spirit third. But that's not always the order in the Bible. Let's go through the Bible and notice the order. I come to 1 Corinthians 12, I read a verse like this. There are diversities of gifts, but one Spirit. There are diversities of administration, but one Lord. There are diversities of administration, but the same God worketh all in all. Notice the order. The Spirit is first, and the Son is second, and God is third. Come now to Ephesians chapter 4. There is one Spirit. There is one Lord. There is one God and Father over all, in all, and through all. It's the Spirit first, it's the Son second, and it's the Father third. Come now to 2 Corinthians 13. Now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit. So what I'm emphasizing tonight is this. Sometimes it's the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Sometimes it's the Spirit, the Son, and the Father. Sometimes it's the Son, the Father, and the Spirit. There is oneness, there is unity, there is harmony in the Godhead. Now, for example, who raised Christ from the dead? Well, you turn to Romans chapter 6, you read a verse like this. He was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. And you come to Ephesians chapter 1, and he was raised from the dead by the mighty power of God. But then I come to John chapter 2, and I read a verse like this. Destroy this body, and in 3 days I will raise it. So the Bible tells me that God raised Christ from the dead. The Bible tells me that Christ raised himself from the dead. And I come to Romans chapter 1. And I come to 1 Peter chapter 3, and I read verses like this. He was raised from the dead through the Spirit of holiness. He was put to death in the flesh, and he was quickened by the Spirit. So who raised Christ from the dead? God raised Christ from the dead. Christ raised himself from the dead. The Spirit of God raised Christ from the dead. It's the oneness, the unity, the harmony that marks the Godhead. Come again. You have a gift. And I have a gift. Who gave you and I the gift? I turn to Ephesians chapter 4. I read a verse like this. Christ led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. And I come to Romans chapter 12, and I read a verse like this. God has dealt to each man a measure of faith. And then I come to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I read a verse like this. Now the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each man to profit withal. Who gave you and I a gift? Christ did, Ephesians 4. God did, Romans 12. The Spirit of God did, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It's the harmony, the unity, the togetherness that marks the Godhead. Now, three things. Fullness. Before I touch fullness, let me say this. You and I have been made free. Who did it? I come to Romans 6, I read a verse like this. Being made free from sin, ye became servants of righteousness. And remember, it's God that makes us free in Romans 6. But I come to Galatians 5, verse 1, I read a verse like this. Stand fast in the liberty. With freedom, Christ has made you free. I'm made free by Christ in Galatians 5 and verse 1. But I come to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and I read a verse like this. In connection with the Spirit of God, where the Spirit of God, where the Spirit is Lord, there is liberty, there is freedom. So I'm made free by God, Romans 6. I'm made free by Christ, Galatians 5. I'm made free by the Spirit, Ephesians chapter 3. My brother tonight has been speaking about Hebron. And he told us Hebron means fellowship. When I come to the New Testament, I discover three things about fellowship. I can enjoy fellowship with God. Listen to John's epistle. If you walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and you and I enjoy fellowship with God. You come to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. God is faithful, who has called us into the fellowship of his Son. Not only do I enjoy fellowship with God, but I enjoy fellowship with the Son. And then I come to Philippians chapter 2, and I read a verse like this. There's consolation in Christ. There's comfort in love. And there is fellowship of the Spirit. So the Christian life is simply this. I can enjoy fellowship with the Father. I can enjoy fellowship with the Son. And I can enjoy fellowship with the Holy Spirit. What do we sometimes say? What a fellowship. What a joy divine. Leaning on the everlasting arms. What about fruit? You remember Hosea chapter 12, is it? From me is thy fruit found. And in Hosea, fruit is linked with God. Then I come to John chapter 15, I read a verse like this. The branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. And neither can ye, except ye abide in me. Fruit is linked with Christ. Then I come to Galatians chapter 5, and I read a verse like this. The fruit of the Spirit is love, and so on. So when I think of freedom, when I think of fellowship, and when I consider fruit, it's linked with the Father, it's linked with the Son, and it's linked with the Spirit of God. Now, three things tonight very quickly. There is fullness linked with God. Listen tonight to what the Bible says. That ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. So remember tonight, dear child of God, there is fullness linked with God. And I'll prove that tonight from the Bible. You remember the children of Israel? You know, God was everything to them. He was three things at least to them. The Lord is our strength. The Lord is our song. The Lord is our salvation. I was reading a verse today in Deuteronomy 4, is it? It says, the Lord blessed them. It says, God was with them. And they enjoyed this phrase, and they lacked nothing. God was everything to Israel. You know, God is everything to the sinner. You remember how the sinner is presented in the Ephesian epistle? He's dead. He's disobedient. He's at a distance. And he's in darkness. That's the four things that marks the unsaved in the Ephesian epistle. Dead. Disobedient. At a distance. And in darkness. But how is God presented in Ephesians 2? I love that chapter. I read about the power of God. I read about the mercy of God. I read about the love of God. I read about the gift of God. And I read about the grace of God. And if God was everything to Israel, remember, God is everything to the sinner. But what about you and I as the people of God? One verse will suffice. My God shall supply all your need, whether it be physical, whether it be moral, whether it be financial, whether it be spiritual. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. So remember, God was everything to Israel as a nation. God everything to the sinner. And God everything to the saint. There's fullness tonight in God. But you know, there's fullness in Christ. Listen to what the Bible says. Of his fullness about God. In Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him. And I want to remind every Christian here this evening, remember, there is completeness tonight, there's fullness tonight in Christ. He's the source of our life. He's the strength of our life. He's the secret of our life. He's the sustenance of our life. He's the satisfaction of our life. So remember, there's fullness in God. Remember, there is fullness in Christ. But I want to remind you tonight, there's fullness in the Holy Spirit. You know, there are four things within the grasp of every Christian, and I want to give you those four things tonight very quickly. The first thing is this, and it's through the Spirit. There's unlimited knowledge. Unlimited knowledge. Second thing I'm going to bring before you tonight is this. There's unlimited strength. The third thing we're going to consider tonight is this. There's unlimited wealth. And the fourth thing we're going to consider tonight is this. There's unlimited provision. And I think tonight, very simply, I can prove that from the Bible. Unlimited knowledge. You remember what Paul says to the Corinthians? I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. And there's no excuse tonight for ignorance. You and I tonight have the Spirit of God. Listen to what the Bible says. No man knoweth the thoughts of a man, save the spirit of the man that is in him. What does that mean? I don't know your thoughts tonight. Because I don't possess your spirit. But I can know the thoughts of God. Because I possess the Spirit of God. Listen tonight to what the Bible says. The Spirit searcheth all things. Yea, the deep things of God. And you and I can know the mind of God because we possess the Spirit of God. Unlimited knowledge. What about unlimited strength? You remember Psalm 27? Strength is linked with God. The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is the strength of my life. And in Psalm 27, strength linked with God. When I come to Philippians chapter 4, I notice strength linked with Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Strength linked with Christ. But when I come to Ephesians 3, I notice strength is linked with the Spirit of God. Strengthened with all might by the Spirit in the inner man. And within the grasp of every Christian, unlimited strength linked with God, linked with Christ, and linked with the Spirit of God. Unlimited wealth. Listen tonight to what the Bible says. We have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. I like that last verse of 1 Corinthians 3. Listen tonight to it. All things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or life or death, things present, things to come. All things are yours. Why? Ye belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God. Unlimited wealth. Unlimited provision. Ever notice if there's limitation, it's never on the divine side, it's always on the human side. You remember Genesis 44? Fill the men's sacks with corn, as much as they could carry. You remember 2 Kings chapter 4? As long as the oil flowed, as long as the vessels were brought, the oil flowed. You remember John's Gospel chapter 6, the feeding of the multitude? As much as they would. Let me say this tonight. In our ignorance, unlimited knowledge. In our weakness, unlimited strength. In our poverty, unlimited wealth. In our leanness, not of body, but of soul, unlimited provision. Now, very quickly, before I sit down, my brother gave us tonight three men. And I'm going to close tonight with three men. First man we're going to speak about is Joseph. The second man we're going to speak about is Paul. And the third man we're going to speak about is Simeon. In Luke chapter 2. Now, three questions. The first question is this. Who was the important person in the life of Joseph? Ponder the question. It was God. Three times in Joseph's life I read this phrase, God was with him. What was those three occasions? When Joseph was sold, it says God was with him. When Joseph was cast into the prison, it says God was with him. And when Joseph was in the house of Potiphar, it says God was with him. Let me ask you tonight one question. If God had not been with Joseph, what would have been the outcome? It would have been defilement. It would have been disaster. It would have been death and destruction. But God was with Joseph. Who's the important man in the life of Paul? How does his life begin in Acts 9? Who art thou, Lord? Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? That's the commencement of his life. You remember 2 Timothy 4, the end of his life? Notwithstanding, the Lord stood by me. I was thinking of the Philippian epistle today. Go through the epistle. Chapter 1, Christ was Paul's life. For me to live is Christ. Chapter 2, Christ was Paul's mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Chapter 3, Christ was Paul's goal, that I might know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. And in chapter 4, Christ was Paul's strength. I can do all things through Christ, who continually pours strength unto me. So the important person in the life of Joseph was God. The important person in the life of Paul was Christ. What about Simeon? Listen to what it says about Simeon. It says the Spirit of God was upon him. It says it was revealed unto him by the Spirit that he would not taste death until he had seen the Lord's Christ. It says he was led by the Spirit into the temple. Remember, Simeon does two things in that chapter. He blesses God, and he blesses the people of God. And you can't do that apart from the presence and the power of the Spirit of God. So there you have it. The important person in Joseph's life, God. The important person in the life of Paul, Christ. The important person in the life of Simeon was the Spirit of God. Now one question. What is the work of the Spirit of God in your life and in my life? Simply this. Listen to one expression. Changed into another man. And the work of the Spirit of God in your life and the work of the Spirit of God in my life is this. to make us different from the men and the women of this world. And remember, we should be different. You remember those 10 virgins? They were different at the beginning. 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. They were different at the end. The 5 that were wise went into the marriage. The 5 that were foolish were left out. But the tragedy was this. There was no difference in between. Listen to what it says. They all slumbered and they all slept. So I leave it with you. He whom God has sent speaketh the word of God, for he giveth not the Spirit by measure. Now shall we pray. Our Father, we bow to thank thee now for the fellowship in which we have been brought into. We do thank thee tonight for fellowship with thyself and with thy Son, with the Holy Spirit, and we thank thee for the fellowship we enjoy the one with the other. Thy word tonight would remind us, our God, they that fear the Lord, they spake often one to another, and we pray, our God, that thou wilt remember us as we journey through this wilderness scene. We thank thee tonight for the assembly here. We thank thee for its planting, its preservation, and we pray that thou wilt continue thy good hand with them. Part us now with thy richest blessing as we ask those things and offer our thanks in the Lord Jesus' worthy and precious name. Amen. Now could we sing perhaps just one verse of 296. 296, and we'll sing verse 2, just keeping our seats. Verse 2, though we pass through tribulation, all must be well. Ours is such a full salvation, all is well. Happy if in God confiding, fruitful if in Christ abiding, holy through the Spirit guiding, all must be well. Verse 2 of 296.
Though we pass through tribulation,